Dear Diary, today I interviewed Danny, who's Scorch of the Coventry Blaze, a hockey mascot in the UK. Take a listen. Hello.
Hi, can you hear me?
Oh yeah, sorry. Okay, sorry. I was not ready. I did not have my levels on the right spot. They were all down. Sorry.
That's fine.
Alrighty, so we'll just get into it. You're okay. I got your email that said you're okay with all the questions, so we'll just go through it. And I just try and keep it like a conversation, and I apologize if I have a brain fart or something. I tend to get really nervous.
No, it's fine. I have them as well, so don't worry.
Alrighty, so how long have you been a mascot?
So I've been doing it just over a year and a half now. Yeah, so not long at all in terms of some of the people I've been listening to on some of the other podcasts.
And how did you become a mascot?
It was by accident, really. It wasn't something I went out and thought, you know what, I'm going to go and become the mascot today. I'm not, you know, it's not something I gave too much thought to. It'll kind of come across, like I say, by accident. I was helping out volunteering down at the club locally. Helping do like match night raffle sales for like 50-50 raffles, which I understand they have some of those over in the US as well.
Yes.
Doing stuff like that, and then I don't know if they have these kind of things in the US, but like they do jersey off the back of a player. So
yes,
each week it's a selected player, and someone can win that jersey from that game, and you get all the kind of blood, sweat, and tears that have gone into that 60 minutes of hockey that have just been played. So yeah, I was helping out with stuff like that, and the guy that did the mascot before me kind of was doing it as and when he could, and he kind of said one week, I can't do it anymore, I've got other commitments that are more priority. And it kind of said, we need someone to do it. So I said, I'll do it. I didn't mind doing it. I'm quite a character myself, and it just came off the back of that. I did it one week, and it was kind of like I did it the next week, and then the next week, and then before I knew it, I was doing it 6 months later, and it's just kind of stuck with me since then. And I've been given more to do with the kind of mascot as well, so that's pretty good.
So is it a full-time job, or are you volunteering?
It's voluntary. I do it because most weeks I was down at the games watching the games, which was good to do, but I was spending money to get in and watch it. So with this, as it's a voluntary thing, I get in for free.
Oh, awesome.
I get to watch the game when I'm not needed. But at the same time, I get to interact with fans and, you know, mainly kids, but quite a few adults at the same time, which is weird because you mainly expect the kids to enjoy it more. But I get more adults giving me a lot more kind of chasing around the rink than the kids these days, which is weird.
We'll get to that. I want to hear more about that. Okay, so you have a job besides this, like your career, I guess, and then this is just part-time because you like it.
I've been a fan of the team since when they moved into the city, which was back in 2000. So to kind of be associated with the club in some way is, even though it's not paying me, I don't mind that. The payment is getting in and seeing the games and making people's nights by having a laugh and a joke, and the kind of giveaways that we do, that's the kind of payment I get from it. I know it sounds cheesy and whatever, but it's enjoyable. So yeah, my full-time job, which pays the bills, and I've got the voluntary job, which pays the kind of my life ambition, which is fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. So yeah. You said you just volunteered to do it and they needed someone in the suit. So there was no audition or anything. You said you've been given more responsibilities along with being the mascot. Is that like coming up with the skits, or what else do you do for the team?
So yeah, I mean, going back to the audition thing, the only thing I needed to do was could I skate, which luckily I could from playing ice hockey myself from a young, like from, well, I say a young age to me, but I know in the US and Canada, it's like middle age for everybody else. I started when I was like 12. So that's like the time I wanted to get into it. So I could skate, which is good. But yes, as the kind of months have rolled by, I've been given the Twitter account, which I run myself. I'm able to kind of tweet things I want to tweet. In a certain extent, I can have a bit of fun, but there's a line that I'm not allowed to cross, which I don't cross anyway. I try not to cross it. And if I do have anything I need to air, I kind of just vent it to people I know at the pub and just let them say what they need to say, and then I just don't get to it. But yeah, I can do the Twitter. I've done events outside of the kind of ice hockey. Like this season, when it's the start of the season happened, which was back in August in last year, I said to the club, like, at Christmas, I want to try and do something with kids in hospital. Can we do something for what, maybe like a charity event? Is there anything like that we can do? And just before the season started, one of our sponsors, which is McDonald's, they kind of, the guy that kind of sponsors us through them, said I'd like Scorch to come down and kind of be in the McDonald's stores that he owns as a franchise and kind of have a bit of fun with that. So I went into three McDonald's stores over a weekend, and like, I was fully dressed up. I was interacting with the staff. I was interacting with customers. I was, there's a picture of me somewhere, I think, standing in a drive-through window <That's> in the costume serving customers in the cars. So that was pretty good. So like, they allowed me to do that kind of stuff. They allowed me to take the suit and go where I need to go and do what I need to do, as long as it's promoting the club in some way. So yeah, they've given me a lot more to do this season from when I started it. And yeah, I've kind of just ran with it, which is pretty good.
That sounds like fun. And I know the mascots over here, I mean, they're so involved in the community, like with the libraries and the schools and just like reading programs and going to the hospital. So that's good to hear that. Like, I don't know what goes on over there with your mascots. It's kind of tough to get that, but I'm glad that, you know, that's something that you guys do. And I hope to talk to more mascots, you know, around anywhere else from the USA. I know I have a lot of USA mascots, just interviews, but I hope to branch out and talk to a lot more people and see what they're doing. So it's great to hear that you're doing stuff like that. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's done anyway, but mainly with the football teams or the soccer teams, as they're called in the US. Yeah. Like, they would do it, but it's not kind of like, whereas with, I know it's with the American sports, I always say it, with American sports compared to English sports, it's a lot more, shall we say, community driven. If the fans are involved in some way, it's their big team to kind of shout about it as much as they can. And I see that over Twitter, Facebook, news outlets, things like that. But over here, it happens, and the kind of, if you're associated with the club or if you're at that club's game, you'll hear about it. But apart from that, you don't really see a lot. And that's something that with me, when I said I wanted to do the kind of Christmas thing where we went to the local hospital and gave away, like, we met some of the kids in the kind of children ward. We gave away like Christmas toys and that were donated by the fans at the games. We kind of, the club tweeted about it. They put it over Facebook. I was tweeting about it. The players got involved as well. So it's something this year we're trying to make it very similar to how, well, not trying to make it, but we're kind of following how it happens back in America and Canada, like how it's kind of promoted and shown off, and to an extent where, look, we're here, we are doing good things. We don't just come and play hockey every weekend or whenever there's a game. We actually do stuff with the community as well. So that's pretty good.
That's awesome. So are those the main differences between American and Canadian and England, like mascots? I don't know. That's kind of one of the top, I'm jumping ahead on my list, but can you talk about any other differences like that you notice?
So yeah, like, the only difference I can really say that, like, comparing it from my perspective to America, Canada, and even like some places in Europe, with the mascots, they seem to be very much, whoever runs the club mascot accounts, they're very social media savvy, they're very community savvy. Like I say, they know where to promote and how to get a good reputation out and about. Which, before I took on the role at the club, he had his own Twitter account. It's something that's always been there. It's been there since the mascot first came into the club. But it wasn't really used for anything other than promoting the club. Like, if the club tweeted something about a game or they're doing a Meet the Players event, or just recently they had a bowling event where the fans could go they pick one player, and there's five fans and a player on a bowling team. They all compete against each other for a bit of fun. The kind of account was used to kind of make fans aware of that. Whereas I thought it should be used more than that. So when I kind of got given the, or when I asked, could I have the Twitter account, I kind of used it. And the best example I could give was Bailey from LA Kings.
Yes.
Yeah. I follow him on my own Twitter account. I'm not an LA Kings ice hockey fan, which is a bit weird. But yeah, he's the best example I can give. Like, I followed him. I seen how he was tweeting. I liked how he did his game updates. I liked when he was in the media, like within the kind of community, what he did with his social media. Like on Facebook, he goes live for about 3 or 4 minutes. He posts pictures of with fans, and interacts with them. He's kind of like his own character. So with the kind of Scorch Twitter account, we've kind of done something similar. Like if a fan tweets me something, I'll probably tweet them directly back, or I'll quote the tweet and make a bit of fun out of it. And everybody seems to have a laugh with it. And some of the responses we've got from that, me personally, and the like I say, the guy that I kind of, should we say, report to, he says that a lot of people have said how Scorch now is a very mischievous kind of mascot, but in a funny way, in a good way, that kind of all relate to him. He's, you know, the kids go there to look for the mascot. They enjoy the night because they get to see him.
Yeah.
And the adults love it too, because that means they get 5-10 minutes without the kids this side, and they can enjoy a game of hockey. Because everybody knows, if you've got a 6-year-old with you, or a kid that's not really interested, but they're there because the parents are there, it kind of takes the effect away for the parents. So for me to do that and allow the parent to watch the game, the kids enjoying themselves as well, it's fun. Yeah, it's really fun.
That's awesome. I'm glad that you're just, you know, rolling with it, and you're taking on this. You're changing the Twitter app, you're changing it up, and it's for the positive, and people are liking it. So I'm glad that you're doing that. Speaking of these children, do you have any positive stories, maybe some bad stories about, you know, as a mascot, you run into these crazy kids, or some good kids, you run into some, you know, maybe some drunk adults. You talked about that. There was some adults that were chasing you down. You know, maybe you have some groupies. Do you want to talk about any of that?
Yeah. We'll start with the drunken adults first, get them out of the way. it's not drunken adults as in to the extent of like they're drunk and they're just getting annoying. They're drunk and they're funny, and they kind of the reality between, they know there's someone in there, this costume, and the actual character itself, that kind of fades away, and it's kind of like they become a child themselves. So I've been at many games where I've stood next to a couple of fans, they've had beers in their hands, and I've, as they've gone to drink the beer, I've threatened to knock their arms so the beer goes everywhere. I've had one fan actually offer me the beer, which is quite ironic because I don't drink alcohol. So to hold this kind of beer pint, and as he's just randomly walked off, I'm like, what do I do with this now? I can't drink it. What do I do with it? It's quite funny. Like these are just a selected few. One time I went up to a random away fan. He just purchased a beer from the bar. I tapped him on the shoulder on one side, snuck around the other, took his pint and walked off. Only to find him later sat back in his seat with two more beers while I'm still holding his beer. So he must have completely forgot he had ordered the beer already and ordered two more to make up for it. And I went back to give him it like 3-4 minutes later, and he's already got two, and I'm like, here, have a third one. So yeah, there's some of the kind of adult moments that are pretty funny. Like, you, and with adults as well, some of them that don't drink, they have that, should we say, wild sense of humor. There's stuff that I can do, and they kind of understand what I'm getting at when I'm doing it. Like, it's only stuff that a mature mind would get, which I don't, like I said, I don't cross that line if I don't need to. But if there's people around who I know, after the, like I say, the 1.5 seasons of doing it, if I know they can have a laugh and a joke, then I'll have a laugh and a joke. I'm like, there's a family that I always see as I'm walking around, and I'll rob this woman's hat and I'll walk off with it and like kind of swing it around my fingers and say, hey, look what I've got. And her husband's laughing his head off. He's taking photos. She's coming after me to kind of get the hat back. And then I'm kind of like American football, throwing it back to her husband. And then as she goes to him, then we're kind of playing piggy in the middle with me one side, her husband the other side, and she's running in between. It's like, it's pretty funny. But yeah, that's the kind of stuff I get up to with the kind of adults. But on the flip side, you've got the children that come as well, which is great. It's good that children come, because obviously it's a new audience. They get into the games. 99% of them enjoy it, but like I say, there are ones that go just because the parents have probably grew up watching it and they're kind of there because the parents are there. But I make their nights just as fun as well. I don't just leave them be. You know, I get them involved with events, and we do giveaways. Like, we give away Subways around the arena. We give away pizzas. We give away like food vouchers for like where the rink is, like, so they can go and get like a free meal from this like food bar. So we do stuff like that. So obviously when we do that, I mainly try and aim that at the kid kind of side. Obviously parents are there for the hockey, really. They enjoy it. But the kids are there for kind of like the fun with the mascot, the giveaways, the kind of exciting times. Like, oh my God, look what I've just got.
Yeah. Like,
I never knew giving away a t-shirt could bring a child so much happiness, which is quite weird.
Oh, yeah. Kids love free stuff. I'm a teacher, man. You give them a sticker and they're just like, oh my God.
Yeah. We have this like gas powered kind of gun thing where we can put t-shirts into it and we can kind of shoot them into the crowd. So we do that during one of the period breaks. And 1 week the gun didn't work. So I was kind of like, I had 7 t-shirts. I was like, okay, we'll do 3 this side, 3 this side. And then the kind of, well, no, I did 2 this side, 2 this side, and then 2 down the far end. And I was like, right, I've got 1 left. I don't really want to be giving anybody kind of 1 more in 1 section. So as I got off, like, there was this little kid, probably no more than 5, 6 years old. I was like, just kind of handing him the t-shirt. And he's like, just looks at me, looks at his dad, looks at the t-shirt, looks back at his dad and says, have I got a t-shirt? And his dad goes, yeah, you're going to thank him. And he's like, he high fives me, fist bumps me, gives me a hug. And he's just like pure, just big smile ear to ear on his face. He's like, oh my God, I've got a t-shirt. I'm going to tell everybody at school, I've got a t-shirt. And it's like, he puts it on. It's like a dress on him. But yeah, he just enjoys the t-shirt. It's literally just a plain t-shirt with the club logo on it. And it's just brilliant to see that kid is just enjoying himself while he's just got a t-shirt, which probably only costs like £6 or £7 from the club store. But it's something he's obviously going to hold on to until he kind of realizes that there is someone inside this big green dragon.
But even then, it's like the making those memories and those positive memories, like looking back, I'm sure he's going to be a fan of the club and maybe one day take his kids.
Yeah, for sure. That's exactly like how I was. Like I say, I'm in my mid-20s now. I feel like I'm getting old. And obviously the next thing on my mindset is children, as everybody thinks about. But the first thing I'm going to be doing is like taking them down to the ice hockey, you know, getting them into it when they can. And it's weirdly enough, it's something I've never seen a lot of when I used to go as a child with my dad. But a lot more recently when people have children, I've seen a lot more coming in maybe like 2-3 weeks after being out of hospital with the newborn child as well. Like, I've had many photos in the last maybe month or so of me holding this newborn baby, and the mom and the dad are standing beside me, and they're beaming with smiles and in the costume. Obviously I'm like, you know, I'm holding this precious little thing. How can you trust in me? Like, you just know me as a big green dragon. How can you trust me enough to hold this precious little form of life? But yeah, it's good to see. Like, that's some of the memories that you kind of walk away. Like, if I've had a bad week at work, it's that kind of stuff I look forward to come the weekend, that makes my kind of like, yeah, I might have had a bad day at work one day last week, but it's made up for when I see these people laughing, joking, smiling, you know, enjoying themselves with me. You know, it's all made up for, and that, it's like I say, it's cheesy, it's corny, I know, but it is fun.
Oh yeah, that's good to hear. I mean, and I know, like, I have a part-time job too, and it's not mascotting, but it's coaching. And it's that same feeling, like, where it's like, oh, like, I got the full-time job and I have a bad day. And then I go to the part-time job and it's coaching with the kids. And every time, if I'm having the worst day, like, they just make me laugh. I don't know. They know, Coach Denise, da-da-da-da-da. Like, they'll tell me, like, this crazy story that happened at school, or they'll try and come up with this, like, I learned a new game, can we try it? And so, yeah, it never fails. I think that's something that you need in your life, even if it is like just part-time or like volunteering. If it makes you smile and it's something like positive, just keep going with it, you know, if you can.
Yeah, yeah. You can't let your life be consumed by the negatives. But like I say, those things are really what make my enjoyment of doing it. And that's why I enjoy doing it. Going back to what I said at the beginning, it's something at first I was like, no, you know, I want to kind of do it. But as the weeks and months and I've gotten, obviously the season's gone by from last year, it's something that I've kind of thought, you know what? Yeah, that kid's just got a free t-shirt, or that kid's just got himself a pizza for him and his dad.
Yeah.
To me, it's just to some people, it's just like, he's got a pizza. But to me, it's like, no, I've probably made that kid's night. He's probably going to go home and go to his mom and say, me and dad got that pizza. Or, you know, it might not even be him. He might go home and say, I had a pizza tonight. And his dad might be like, yeah, Scorch gave us a pizza. Like, I've had many people tweet me saying the kids have had a good time because they got to see Scorch. But I've had many people who don't have kids have pictures with me and tweet me saying, oh my God, I finally got to meet you. And I've had an away fan from one of the teams up in Scotland say, you're not as good as our mascot, but you're definitely my second favourite. I finally got to meet you. And it's just like, when you kind of step back from it, you think it's just someone dressed in a suit. But these people, that kind of goes out the window. Like, you are the character when you are walking around that rink, when you are interacting. It's really fun.
I just wanted to move on to a couple listener submitted questions. So
yeah.
I had someone who wanted to know, like, how hockey fans walk on the ice. Like, I know you said you skated, but when you're not on your skates, or I don't know, if you're not on your skates, do you have non-slip shoes, or are you just always on your skates on the ice?
When it's a bit of a weird one, because when I am on the ice, I'd say 8 times out of 10, I will be on my skates, just because it kind of sells the character a bit more. Because with the costume, it's got its head, it's got its upper body, it's got its arms, and it had its own shorts and kind of like leg pads, things like that, and jerseys and what have you. But what I've done is I've kind of used the body, the arms and the head, and I've brought in my own, because obviously from playing hockey, I've bought my own shorts and leg pads, and I kind of it looks more like a hockey player to an extent now than it did just like a costume on someone. Because it fits me better, and obviously I feel more comfortable in it. So I try and put my skates on as and where I can to kind of sell the image more that this is actually someone who can skate, play hockey, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been times where I've gone on the ice without my skates on, but I just wear regular trainers to kind of, they're just like blue trainers, and they go with kind of like the rest of the kind of colour scheme of the jerseys, which is blue as well. So, but they've got no grips on, and touch wood, I've not slipped over. Weirdly enough, I've not slipped over on wearing my trainers, but I've fallen over about 4 times whilst with my skates on, which is ironic because you think I'd do it with trainers, but no, yeah, more times falling over on skates than I have on my trainers so far.
Obviously, like, putting on the costume and having the big helmet on, was it tough? Even your first time, like, when you put everything on and you put on the skates and you try to skate, did you fall? Or no, you were it was good.
Weirdly enough, no, I didn't fall. That's the weird thing. Like, I put it on, the first thought that went through my mind as I put everything on, I was like, how am I going to see? Because I'll be honest, the vision's, I'd say I've got 80% vision in that kind of costume. I'm thinking, like, how am I going to see? How am I going to skate? When am I going to know when to stop? These kind of things in the first time went through my head. So the first kind of time, it was a bit weird, and it was something that I still had to get used to. But maybe my third or fourth time, I kind of adapted, got used to it. We've made some kind of, I wouldn't say improvements, but we've made some changes internally to the suit, which help with how I skate, how I stand, helps with my vision. So everything's a lot more secure on me now, so I'm not concerned with anything coming off when it shouldn't come off. So yeah, no issues with like skating the first time or anything like that. But it did feel very weird the first time I ever did anything. It's like, okay, I've got this big green head on. Where do I look out of? I didn't know how to position my head inside the kind of helmet head. like, how do I stand? Do I stand quite tall and posturous, or do, because I don't want to seem intimidating? It was all those kind of things as you do when you first start doing this kind of stuff. It crosses your mind and you're like, okay. And then when you see the photos or any kind of videos that come back from stuff you've done, you kind of think, okay, it's kind of like acting.
Yeah.
In a weird way. You kind of, you review what you've got and you kind of tweak what you can. But yeah, not really changed a lot from day one, which is good, I suppose.
But you used a lot of, like, the videos you said, like, you use videos to watch yourself and then and improve off that.
Yeah, so there's a couple of fan videos that have been tweeted to me from like the first couple of months that I did it and how I was walking, and like, I never realized I did it, but I kind of walk with this shoulder swagger as I'm walking around, and I've kind of picked up that, okay, that's how I was walking for the first couple of months. Now I feel more comfortable in it. I noticed I stopped doing it, so I started doing it again to give it that kind of characterness back to the kind of walking of the kind of mascot. So it's little things like that. Like, you don't realize you're doing something because at first it feels weird, but then when you get comfortable and you change and you become more yourself, you think, no, it doesn't look right now, so I've got to go back. And how I, when I used to stand for pictures, I used to stand and, like, I'd put my, like, my thumbs up and, like, stand a certain position and kind of pump my chest out. And then as I got more comfortable again, I used to do it, but it just looked like I was slouching or I wasn't really up for it. So every time I have a photo now, I'm always, like, pumping up the chest, making sure I'm ready to go. It's kind of like preparing myself for a game without actually physically competing in the game.
Yeah.
It really is.
That's good to hear. Like, I love, like, that character development. There's one mascot that I've been following since she just came out with the NWHL Crusher. And it's cool to see just, like, the development of character. Like, when she first came out, like, I think someone asked if she was a boy or a girl. And she's like, I'm a girl, I think. And then she had, like, a crown.
Yeah.
And she's a buffalo, by the way, or bison. And she switched it out to a tiara. And last season, she was just walking around with regular shoes, I believe. And this year she was tweeting, she's like, oh, my new shoes came in, so I can't wait to wear them. And then so I was, like, looking at Twitter pictures, and yeah, she got these big old mascot shoes. So it was just really cool to see that whole development. You know what I mean? It's the small things, but it's cool that they're, you know, people take time and pride into developing their characters, and it's cool to see. So.
Yeah, no, it really is good to see. Like, I mean, there's been many a times where I've not been able to make a game and they've had someone else have to fill in for me. And you see pictures from that night that fans tweet the accounts of, so I have access to it, and so does the club. And obviously, I like everything and I retweet everything on Twitter because that's the only kind of social media he has. But many people, like Fred, majority of my friends know it's me, my partner knows it's me, and she's, whenever she sees the picture, she's like, you can tell it's not you, even though I know you're not, she knows I'm not there, so she kind of expects it not to be me anyway, because 9 times out of 10, if I'm not there, I'm with her, so she knows if I was with her and there was a game on, it's more likely not going to be me in the picture that I've just retweeted. But there's been friends that know that I do the mascot, haven't realized I wasn't at the game, and they've said, oh, were you feeling all right last night? Like, the other week I had a text off a friend of mine, played hockey with him since I was like 14 years old, and he said, you're not feeling great, are you okay, like, you didn't see him yourself tonight. I was like, what do you mean, I haven't seen you for like 2-3 weeks? He said, yeah, you didn't look right last night in the costume. I was like, that's because it wasn't me. So he didn't even realize I wasn't the game, but he could tell that there was something different about the character. So
yeah.
I'm assuming there's stuff I bring to it that I didn't even realize I brought to it.
Yeah, and I've always said this, like, throughout the podcast, if you're listening, like, I think consistency is the best. And if there's different people in the suits and you can't tell, then I think that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah, which is good. Like I say, 9 times out of 10, I am there, but there is going to be 1 or 2 weeks where I am unavailable due to a commitment. But that's just life at the end of the day,
yeah.
You know? It's happened, so, but there's always someone to fill in, and they know what they're doing. It's not like they don't know what they're doing, because they're one of the other match night people as well. So they more than likely are walking around with me when I am doing it.
Yeah.
So they kind of see what I am doing. They kind of like just go in and try and mimic it to the best of their ability. They're kind of like an understudy as such.
Yeah, definitely. And so one more question.
Yeah.
So I have a listener who is trying to become a mascot.
Yeah.
And he just wanted to know some tips. He specifically requested that I get someone from, he said, the UK. And so if you can give any advice to someone who's trying to become a mascot, do you have any tips?
It's a bit of a, I wouldn't say it's a difficult one to answer. It's definitely easy to answer, but it's just, it comes down to what kind of mascot are they looking to do. Are they looking to do it for ice hockey? Because I can give them what I did on that. If it's down to like a professional sports team, it's a bit of a kind of a grey area. If you know someone affiliated with the club or has any contact with the club directly, be it football or soccer as it is, or ice hockey, the only thing I can do is, what I would advise to do is contact that person or contact the club and just kind of ask them. Obviously, it's kind of like as you would do when you're searching for a job. You've got to inquire. You've got to see if there's anything available. If not, is there a possibility that if anything was to come up, could he be made aware of it? That's the only thing I can advise in terms of getting into the kind of role. But then if he gets into it and they kind of do let him do the kind of mascot, once he's in it, just have fun with it. Don't be thinking, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do this. 9 times out of 10, I go to a game and I just wing it. I don't even have a plan of what I'm going to do. I just do it, which is probably not the best way of doing it, but it's more natural. Like, I don't sit there and think, right, I want to tweet this, I want to tweet that, I want to do this to make sure the game's aware and enjoying the game. I want to do this, I want to do that, and I want to do this during the game. I literally, most of our home games are on a Sunday evening. So I literally just do whatever I'm doing in the day, get in, get my stuff, get myself ready to go, get down to the rink, say hi to the kind of owners, the match night coordination team, some of the players that I see as well, get my stuff all ready, and then I kind of just get ready and go. I don't have any thought process to that. Literally just go, get it done. And if you can do things off the cuff, it's a lot more natural. It's a lot more enjoyable to see as a person and to kind of do as a person. Like, but getting into it is going to be I wouldn't say the difficult part, because once you get the right people and know the right people, and you can kind of contact them, he'll be fine. He'll get into it. But yeah, whoever it is that asked the question, if they just speak to the team that they need to speak to, who there's kind of mascot role that he wants to do, and just say, look, I'm interested in doing this. What are the chances of maybe doing it for one night if the regular person is off? And maybe he could start as like the backup to the main person, and then you never know, because at some point that main person is going to need to kind of step away. Like with me, yeah. I didn't start as a backup. I started as a volunteer doing something else. The main person stepped away and I was like, I'll do it. I don't mind doing it. And yeah, it just kind of went, like I say, it went from that. So that's probably the best way of doing it. Don't go in there with a plan as such. Just kind of ask the question, be genuine. Because yeah, the more genuine you are, the more likely they're going to try and get you something, which yeah, is probably the best. And especially if you want to do it as a voluntary thing, then yeah, if you seem more genuine, then they're more likely to take you seriously and allow you to do that kind of stuff, because obviously you're giving up however much of your time to do it, and they're going to be willing to take as much effort and help on as they can to get stuff done. So yeah, that's the only advice I can give on that.
Alrighty, thank you. And then so just we're going to run through the last three questions I usually always ask at the end of the interview. So what's the hardest part about mascotting?
Cleaning the suit. I'm going to be brutally honest. It's as much as I enjoy doing it, you don't half sweat when you are wearing the thing. So any opportunity I can get to clean the thing, it's cleaned, because it's not the easiest thing to clean either. Many a times I've brought it back to my place and I've ran a hot bath because of how big it is, and I've ran down, got my washing detergent and whatever for that I'd normally put in the machine, and I've just put it in the bath, I've mixed it up, I've dumped the suit in, I've rubbed it, I've scrubbed it, and then I've left it to dry, and then I realise I need it in 2 days, and I'm like, right, that's not going to be dry in time, and I'd like to get the hairdryer on it. Yeah, I would say that's, if I could pick one negative, that is it, but I wouldn't even say it's a negative, because even though it can be time-consuming and it takes a lot of work to get done, it's still enjoyable in a weird way, because I don't know, you're doing it to make yourself feel clean and you're making sure the fans aren't touching something that's not been washed for a month. So
I love this subject. I'm sorry, I love that you said that, because yeah, there's another episode where we get into like cleaning the suit, and I'm just fascinated by that subject, and I don't know why. Because yeah, I think it's a lot of work and something that you think about when you're like, I've seen people like kiss the costume, and I'm like, no, I love the mascot, yeah, but I am not going to put my lips on that dirty fur.
Yes, weirdly enough, I had someone last week. I haven't washed it. I don't know how long. I'll be honest, I don't know how long I've not washed it for, because of Christmas and New Year. I just haven't got around to doing it. I had someone kiss it last week, and I actually, in the suit, scrunched my face. And I very rarely feel like I could be sick. And I felt like I could have been sick at that point. I was like, okay, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
But they don't know. And they don't, to be honest, I don't even think they care some of the times. They're so caught in the moment. They do it. And that's the best part about it.
Yeah.
From being a mascot and being a fan, the fans are so caught in the moment. They don't care what they're doing. And if you're so caught in the moment, and if you're so intuitive and just go along with it and do things off the cuff, it's brilliant. Like I say, that's some of the best moments, because people don't expect it.
Yeah.
And if you change it up as well, that makes it even better.
Yeah, definitely. So what's the hardest, wait, no, we said the hardest part. What's the best part about mascotting?
It's got to come back to what I said earlier. It's just seeing all those, not even kids, it's seeing everybody who comes to a game, attends a game, you know, walking away with a smile on their face after having some sort of interaction with me. Like I say, going back to the kid that I gave the t-shirt to, like, that clearly made up his night. It's probably made up his weekend, and probably spoke about it for the next week at school with all his friends, and probably told every family member he's seen over Christmas.
Yeah.
It's things like that. Like I say, it's enjoyable seeing someone who goes there to watch a game, walk away with a smile on their face after. I've had many adults have asked for pictures. They've stopped me and said, can we get a picture of you? And I've been like, yeah, no problems. Obviously, I don't speak. I kind of just like thumbs up, and you're like, yeah, go on then, get my picture with them. And then they're like, thank you, thank you, thank you. And then they're tweeting me. By the time I've got back to the dressing room, I've got like 18 tweets off people with pictures. And oh my God, you were so funny when you were doing that dance. And just that kind of stuff, kind of like people giving you the recognition for what you do. But at the same time, you want to do it because of that recognition.
Yeah, I just think mascots make people smile. I mean, if you can make someone smile, like whatever you're doing, it's just going to be a chain reaction. Like there's going to be a slight mood change just to make them feel a little bit better. If they're having a bad moment, maybe you just totally like change things around. So yeah, I think something positive. And then which mascots inspire you? Do you have any?
Again, it goes back to what I said earlier. Obviously, I name dropped him earlier. Bailey from the LA Kings would be the kind of mascot that, weirdly enough, over the summer, he followed me on Twitter on the mascot's account. So so I must be doing something right for him to follow me. So that's quite an amusement for me to have. So yeah, I'd say it's definitely Bailey. He's up there, definitely. There are other mascots that they do the odd thing here or there, and I see a video and I laugh at them, or they're involved in some sort of advert and it's enjoyable and fun. But just an all-round figure, someone if I could give any advice to anybody, if you want to watch a mascot who is good at their job, whoever does Bailey for LA Kings is just pure brilliant at it. Follow that, take ideas, create your own stuff off the back of it, and just create that kind of image of a mascot, because I'd say he's probably one of the best ones in the NHL. There are others, like I say, but I just can't pick any out. He's just the YouTube videos that he does with some of the players on their YouTube account.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The live things he does with Facebook, the Twitter stuff he does. Like, I think he tweeted they were playing someone the other night, LA were, and I think they were winning. and one of the away fans or one of the fans of the team they were playing tweeted him something, and he just quoted it and said, "Hey, let me come and find you. I'll give you a piece of pie." And then next thing I know, there's a video of him pieing someone in the face, which I thought was pretty funny. I was like, "That's brilliant! Like, I'd love to do it, but I think there would be something coming back on me if I did that."
Yeah. Any shout outs? I mean, anyone to your friends or to your partner, you said, or you can shout out anyone. Anyone you want to shout out who you think will listen?
Obviously, the club know I'm doing it, so I've got to do a big shout out for them. So obviously, the only person I can really shout out, because he's the one that kind of let me do it and lets me get away with most of the stuff I do. It's a big, big shout out to Rob, the match night coordinator. If it wasn't for me being there and him asking me to do what I did originally, I wouldn't have been doing the mascot now. So thank you to him to letting me do what I do. And also thank you to the owners of the ice hockey team, the Coventry Blaze. Like, they just let me, like I say, again, they let me run with it. Like, most owners of clubs are very strict with what they like to do. But the only advice I was given when I first took it on was, there's three rules. You've got to skate. You've got to be able to chuck tennis balls to the fans in the crowd, because that's one of the events they do before games. And you've got to be mischievous. And I just ran with it. So they're the three kind of main people. Like, they're the main people I want to give. There's the two owners and Rob from the match night. He lets me do what I need to do. I'll give a shout out to my partner as well. Like, it sounds bad. I'll give her one. She'll most likely listen to it with me when it goes out. Big shout out to my partner, Jenna. She knows us already, but obviously we get married in 10 weeks today from when we're recording this.
Congratulations.
I can't wait for the next 10 weeks. That's all I'm going to say out there. So whoever listens to this, I want everybody to tweet me saying, you know, congratulations on your wedding. No pressure from all the listeners out there. And the second thing is that I want to thank her for is, I just want to thank her for letting me be me. Like, we've been together like 11 years this year. She's not tried to change me from who I am. I've always been this characteristic, funny 20-something year old male as I am now, who, yeah, I might be in my mid-20s, but I'm still actually 13. I still jump around. I still mess about. I still get excited over stupid little things. And they're the kind of things that I put into the mascot that allows me to be who I am when I am in the costume. So a big, big thank you for her for not trying to change me, which is weird, because she's normally like, she would change me when I want to do something I want to do. She normally tells me not to do it, but with this, she's let me run with it. So no, yeah, big thank you to her. She's obviously allowed me to express myself in ways that not many people can express themselves when they're in a relationship. So I know many people who wouldn't do it, but yeah, no, thank you to her. But I don't think there's anybody else I need to shout out. Oh no, there is one more, two more. I won't name them though, but they'll know who they are if they listen. Thank you to the two people who make sure I'm ready on match nights, make sure I'm ready to go, and help me when I am walking around the rink or any events. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be able to do what I do, because obviously, as most mascots probably say, and as it's probably obvious when you go to games, sometimes kids can get, I wouldn't say clingy, but they can kind of hang around.
Yeah.
And it's thanks to them. They allow me to kind of move on and do what I need to do to get stuff done. So yeah, big thank you to them too. I won't name them because I don't think it's really fair, because I haven't spoke to them since last week. But yeah, thank you to them. And thank you to yourself for obviously allowing me to come on here and just talk for however long this has been now.
No, thank you. I really appreciate it. I really wanted some perspective from, you know, your side of town. And I think you have a great support system. It's good to hear that. It's good to hear that you're doing positive things. And that's what I love about mascotting. And this is what I love about interviewing mascots, just getting the different stories, the good and the bad, and just getting it out there for people to listen and hear. And hopefully it inspires, you know, a lot of people that are trying to become mascots or just keep going with it, you know. So thank you so much, and I wish you the best of luck, and thank you.
No problems. Well, thank you for allowing me to come on last day and talk and give my opinions on what I do. And obviously, hopefully the person that asked the question about how to get into it, hopefully they've got an idea.
Yeah. Alrighty. Well, thank you and have a great day.
And you. Thank you. Cheers, Em.
And that was it for episode number 13. I had a lot of fun talking to Danny. It was just really cool to get a different perspective, you know, from someone who wasn't a mascot in the US. And I hope to get more. I'm working on it, you guys. I have one more to schedule. I might put out a best of before that one comes out, because scheduling is hard, you guys, with the time difference. It's tough and people are busy. And I'm just going to throw this out there. The guy that we mentioned who is trying to get a mascot gig, I've been back and forth with him, and he landed one volunteer gig and as a mascot. And I want to hear about it. And we've talked about him just being on the show, and, you know, just we can talk about the whole experience on trying to become a mascot. And I think that would be really interesting. And I think the listeners are invested now. So now he has to do that interview. So yeah, email me back so that we can schedule that. And then I'll get to 15. I just want to apologize if I'm repetitive. It's really hard to keep the episodes and all my stories straight. And I know I mentioned that I'm a teacher a lot, and I'm pretty sure I mentioned Crusher quite a few times, but she's one of my favorites. And I mentioned the consistency thing a lot. So sorry, listeners, but it's my first time talking with that mascot, and maybe they don't always listen to all the episodes. So I don't know, just putting it out there. I'm sorry. I just wanted to touch on a few of my mascot adventures that I've had recently. Some of you guys have told me that you enjoy hearing about meeting the different mascots and how it is interacting with them. So just going to talk about that. I went to the Ontario Reign game. It was my first time seeing Kingston. And Bailey happened to be there because it was the affiliate night. So yeah, Bailey was there and the organist was there. Our organist, Elliot Organist, is the best, you guys. Dieter is awesome. You should follow him. Anyways, so yeah, Bailey and Kingston together put on an awesome show. Yeah, it was really cool to see Bailey and Kingston interact. And when I took a picture with Kingston, he was really excited to see the ring because I had sent him stickers and stuff. So he's really tall, you guys, which makes me think that it's the same guy that used to be in the old dragon suit before they did that whole King's makeover thing. But Kingston, if you want to give me the exclusive, you know, contact at mascotdiaries.com. Anyways, moving on to Chuck's birthday. That was so much fun. Not just because Cosmo was there, and I love Cosmo, and Cosmo was awesome. It was my first Clippers game. I wanted to be there from the beginning, like to see everything. So I didn't leave my seat. I was really lucky that the mascots were signing autographs and taking pictures before the game. So I got there early, got to meet all of them, and then I just sat in my seat. So anyways, so I got there and obviously I said hi to Cosmo first. And I met Pierre the Pelican. And he is a freaking klepto. I did not know that. So I try and get my ring in there as much as possible. Him and some of the mascots are looking at the ring, and then he takes it. And that was it. Like, I had no more pictures with the ring except for Sparky, who was last. Like, and I was like, oh my gosh. But anyways, I was like, whatever. I got to take a picture with all these mascots and, you know, meet them. So I go over to Jazz Bear, and I did not know that, like, some of the mascots, you could see their eyes, like their actual human eyes. And I was like, what the? I was so freaked out. I did a double take and he did a double take. And I was like, oh my God, I freaked out for a second. And I mean, it makes sense because it's like, yeah, you're doing all these dunking stunts. You want to be able to see, and you don't want to be, yeah, behind this mask. So, but yeah, it was just really creepy. So it was Grizz. No, not Grizz. Grizz. Yeah. I don't know where he could see from, but it was Jazz Bear and I think Slamson too. He was creepy, so I kind of didn't want to make eye contact. And the Sun's Gorilla, where you could see their eyes. It was like, oh my gosh. But anyways, but they were super cool. I love their costumes. I love the fur. It was awesome. And okay, funny story. If you don't know me, obviously you don't know that I don't like to be touched, but I'm telling you right now, I am not a hugger. I just didn't grow up in that, like, oh, huggy, huggy family type. I don't know. I have baggage, I have issues, but whatever. So, and on top of that, I have really bad anxiety, you guys. So I prepare for a hug, whatever, but anything other than that, I kind of tense up and freak out and try and let it go afterwards. But yeah, you could totally tell in my face that I'm like, ah. Anyways, so I met Grizz, and Grizz just freaking picked me up, right? And I was like, oh my God, I was like, what is happening right now? So I kind of freaked out, and it's hilarious when there's someone taking a picture. If I have someone, like, and they actually, like, snap the first moments of, like, being picked up. Yeah, you could just tell in my face that I was totally uncomfortable. But anyways, So yeah, it was just really funny. But those are my favorite pictures. Like, looking back, I just think it's like hilarious. I'm like, Denise, you're an idiot. Like, you freak out for no reason. But there's this one where a mascot's like kissing me. And I mean, you heard me talk about it. Number one, I think that's totally gross. And it's all this fur up in your face. And yeah, I had someone taking the picture and you could just totally tell my arm is tensed up and I'm freaking out. Like, my hands all like, weird. And yeah, so in the moment I kind of freaked out, but then afterwards, like, looking back, those are my favorite pictures and it's just really funny. So yeah, I just wanted to share that. So yeah, all the mascots were really cool and I was glad I got to meet some of them. Be careful, you know, if you ever meet Pierre the Pelican, because he takes things. He was taking shoes during, like, when he was on the court. I think he took like two people's shoes. It was funny. And shout out to Slamson, even though he's kind of creepy, not just because of the eyes, because he was out there the whole game. So shout out and like props to him, right? But he was just chasing women. It was weird. Like, it was creepy. He did this like zombie walk where he put his arms out in front of him and he was like, and he would just follow like women. And so I mean, whatever. It was funny if that's your thing. And it was really sad that I think Cosmo and Bailey left after the halftime show. And I understand because they weren't dunking or anything. Cosmo posted this really funny video where he's wiping, he's like cleaning the court because he couldn't dunk or anything. And the NBA mascots were on roller skates and they all had their inflatable thingies. You know, their inflatable mascots. I will post a video on my Instagram if you don't know what I'm talking about. But yeah, there are these, I mean, I guess it's the mascot inside of these inflatable things and they do dances and stuff. At first, I didn't know what the point was because I saw Bailey's and I was like, okay, so he jumps around on the ice, right? But then I saw the NBA's like routine and their whole skit with like different songs of jumping and like they did jump around and this is how we do it. And then, yeah, so I got a better understanding of like, oh, like, that's how you utilize the air mascot and how it looks cool. And they were like upside down jumping and it was crazy. I'll post the video, but yeah, it was cool to see that. And yeah, I just wanted to mention that I had a total blast at that game. And so anyways, you can follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. I know I'm not on Facebook that much. It's hard because I have to be like on an actual computer. But anyways, you can still follow me. It's at Mascot Diaries. And if you are a mascot and you would like to give me an interview, it's contact@mascotdiaries.com. Thanks again for listening, you guys. This is not the end. Hopefully, like, a best of and two more. Alrighty, thanks. Bye.